still looking at releasing of the Spirit. And the whole point, let me, as I'm going into this, bring you in Isaiah 58. Turn to Isaiah 58, verse 6 while I'm leading into this. Because when we look at releasing the Spirit, and let me go back, because we're talking not about releasing the Holy Spirit in us per se. We are talking about that, but that's not really our focus. Our real focus of this is releasing our human spirit, who we are, who God has really called us to be. And the thing about it is that when we come into the world, we actually have no clue of who we really are, who God really intends us to be. And so no one who hasn't met Jesus, no one who has not accepted Jesus into their life can ever possibly hope to find who they really are, because who we really are is in the mind of the Creator. And if He does not reveal to us, show us, and unlock who we really are, there's no way for us to know on our own, with our own mind, who we are really supposed to be. So I usually say that we are right now a product of what we've been through, what we're going through now, and where we're going. And so in unlocking the human spirit, we remember that basically this is a message to the saints, to those who are saved, that when we got saved, our spirit got saved. Our spirit got completely saved, because at the moment that we received Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to dwell in our spirit. That gave us eternal life, right? And so when we look at that because we are saved based upon receiving Jesus and having the Holy Spirit in our spirit, that now that makes us saved. But we got a problem. You remember what the problem is? The problem is that our soul does not want to give up its independence. So you can be saved, but being saved don't mean that now you're going to make all the right decisions. We're going to start acting completely right, and that every decision is going to be a righteous decision. But the problem is that our soul has been in control for so long. Our soul is our mind, what we think we know, our will, what we want to do, what we choose to do, and our emotions, how we feel about things. So our soul has been in charge for most of our lives. Hello. And so that position of being in control is not easily dislodged. That the soul then, that's why for many people, and I'm recapping some stuff that I've been through over the eight weeks, because when we touch on this, it'll kind of pull a whole lot of stuff together. That's why some folks say, well, my life started going upside down really when I got saved. You know, some folks say, well, I got saved and then everything kind of went real crazy. I thought everything's supposed to go right. But what happens is we're not aware of it, but our soul did not rejoice when we got saved. Hello. Our spirit rejoiced. Our soul did not, because our soul said, uh-oh, now I'm not supposed to be the one calling the shots, but Jesus is supposed to be calling the shot. So now I've got to do everything I can to stay in control. So then we start feeling different things, and stuff start coming to make us feel certain ways and feel like we might not be saved, or feel like we want to do something else. And so our soul starts hardening itself so that the real us, our spirit, can't come forth. Got it? So then we start going through things, and then you start seeing that when you're saved and then you try to go and do something else, or you try to do something that you've been doing, is really not really the same. Hello. Still don't have the same effect. Don't have the same. You can't do what you used to do and it turn out the same way it used to turn out, because now there is a difference. Your soul is fighting to keep its control and your spirit is fighting to get out. And when your spirit gets out, that's when the Holy Spirit comes out. Hello. Let me say it this way, and then we're going to get to Isaiah 58. can preach a message from my soul and the Holy Spirit never come out. And sometimes, and a lot of people might not even know the difference. Oh, because the what you know comes from your soul. It comes from your mind, but it doesn't always have to be directed by the Holy Spirit. That's why I'm kind of leery of, I don't want to say this the wrong way. I love exuberant and fiery services, which are Holy Spirit led, but sometimes what you see isn't always just Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's emotionalism. But now that isn't to disregard emotions whatsoever in our expression of God. But see, everything that is outwardly exciting doesn't necessarily have to be directed or come from the Spirit. It can come from the soul. Hello. And so sometimes we feel that we've been touched by God, or we had a touch by God, or something happened, and it may have only touched our soul and not really our spirit. So here's the thing. How can I know that my spirit is being released and not my soul? We talked about that. I think 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how the enemy comes against us and temptation and all the rest of that. How the devil then tries to take advantage of the civil war that's going on the inside, because our spirit wants to do one thing, our soul wants to do another, and sometimes we will feel like we're spiritually schizophrenic. We know it's wrong, but then we still just feel it feels so right. You know that song we sing, you know. Well, we used to sing then. Yeah, if it feels good, what? How could it be wrong? It feels so right. Some song like that. Yeah. Sometimes even as Christians. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a little worse. That's a little worse there. But this is the reality of our saved life. Not being saved, but even as being saved, we have this dichotomy in us where we want to do the things of God, but the things that please us right now sometimes seem to hold us heavier than God's spirit holding us. Hello. And so we talked about how the devil uses that against us. And so we talked about that, and we used Jesus being in the wilderness and being tempted while he was in the wilderness. And so we're looking today. How then do I, what are the weapons that I can use? What is it that I can do to get not only the devil off my back, but how can I get my soul, which is internally sometimes creating a block, creating a wall? How can I deal with myself? Because there's the thing. If you can deal with yourself, the devil, you don't have to worry about the devil. Hello. Let me say that again. Sometimes folks just want to run to deliverance services and have folks lay hands on them to get the devil off their back. No, if you can deal with yourself, then you've already dealt with the devil. Let me say that again. If you can deal with yourself, you have already dealt with the devil, because the devil cannot do anything against you. He's almost like, you know, when we used to watch, you know, back in the day, if you used to watch that about Dracula. Dracula couldn't come in the house unless he was invited across the threshold. Hello. The devil can't come into your life until you invite him or allow him, because Dracula never came with his fangs and all out. He usually come when the vulnerable, pretty young lady was standing at the door, and she's scared because it's lightning outside, like it's never lightened before. And then he comes like the hero that's coming in. That is exactly how the devil comes. He comes to let us feel like he's going to give us something that God is taking too long to do, or he's giving us something that he wants us to think that God doesn't want us to have. And he says, hey, I can be better than God. So now how do we fight this? Well, let's turn to Isaiah 58. I know we've looked at this before, but we've never looked at it. I don't think we've really touched on it in this aspect about fasting. Let's look at this. Isaiah 58 and 6. That wasn't that bad. Only about a 15-minute introduction. Isaiah 58 and 6. Isaiah 58 and 6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? This is God talking. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Now, we are all familiar with fasting. You know, we know that fasting is that you do not eat. You know, you may drink some water, or you may drink water and juice, or different types of fast. But basically, fast, we realize that fasting is when you do not eat for a specific period of time. You have chosen a specific period of time, and you are praying, and you are seeking God at this time. This isn't a fast, is not something where you just working so hard till you didn't have time to eat. That's not really a fast. Hello. A fast is not really, I need to lose about 3 pounds before the week is out because I got a class reunion. No, that's a diet. Yeah, that's not a fast. You know, a fast is when you're seeking something from God. Primarily, you're seeking something from God. You're seeking God, and you are depriving yourself of food. You could eat, but you're not. You're choosing not to. So we know basically that is a fast, but if we don't really understand what God has called it for, we may miss out on some benefits that are there. So he says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? So now fasting is not something that we're doing for God, but God gives us this as a tool. Watch this. What is he giving it a tool for? He says to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. The only way to release the spirit is by the outer man being broken. Releasing of the spirit, that means the human spirit. Releasing of the human spirit comes through breaking of the outer man, the soul. Remember, the soul wants to stay in control, so it puts up a little wall so that our spirit, which is being governed by the Holy Spirit, can't break out of this box. God is telling us to do one thing, but our soul sometimes says, but what if it don't work? You know, sometimes that's our soul. The Holy Spirit tells us to do something. Well, what are they going to say? That's our soul putting up a wall. The Lord tells us to go somewhere and do something. But Lord, where am I going to get the money from? Not I don't have the money, but what, Lord, where am I going to get the money from? Because, you know, I got, and we make up all these excuses. That's many times the soul's way of not yielding to God. And so it puts up that blockage. So all of those things, even though they may seem logical, they may seem like they're appropriate, and even sometimes God will tell us to do one thing and we will say, but Lord, I got a better idea. That's still our soul. Hello. Putting up a wall. So he says, so he's letting us know that the releasing of the spirit only comes through the breaking of the outer man. So now if you are in a prison, there's a wall around. The only way for you to get outside is for you to either dig a hole underneath or break through, find a door in the wall that's open, or break through the wall itself, right? That's the only way you're going to get out. In a sense, that's the same way we got to look at it in terms of our soul fighting against our spirit. God has established what is that? A proper fast is. We can go on some fast, you know. We can do something and call it a fast. But is it the fast that God has chosen? And I would like to say it this way. If God says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? So then that means then if I say I'm going to give God a fast, but I don't do it his way, is it really going to work? I can do a whole lot of stuff and say it's one thing, but if it's not what God has chosen, God only tells us what he is going to accept. Remember? Cain and Abel, they both gave a sacrifice, but only one of them was accepted. So we can do a whole lot of stuff and say we're doing a whole lot of stuff for God, but God is not going to accept something just because we're sincere about it. Hello. That may seem rough, because sincerity, if you didn't really know it, sincerity comes from your soul. Sincerity means how I feel about what I did. I'm sincere about it, or I'm insincere. If I'm insincere, it's still coming from the soul. So just being sincere is really something just coming from the soul. God is not particularly caring what comes from the soul, because the soul don't want what God wants anyway. So here's the thing. We have to fight against our own feelings. Even when our own feelings does something that looks like it's right and we feel good about doing something that looks like it's right, it still might not be what God wants. Look, what do you fast for? Now, everybody here should have been on a fast at least once, because I know 1 year we did a whole year of fasting every Tuesday. Hello. So everybody here should have done. Okay. So everybody should have at least been on one fast. Hello. Hello. We did a whole year at least, and some still doing it. But as a church, we did it for a whole year. So everybody here, I'm not going to ask for hands. Everybody here should have at least done one fast. But here's the thing. Now, what do you fast for? If God says, this is the fast that I've chosen, what do you fast for? Let's look at some of the things, because I was thinking about some of the things that over the years, maybe I have even thought what a fast was. Because when you hear fast, sometimes you just think, oh, all it is you just don't eat, you know. Well, so what is some of the stuff we fast for? Do you fast because there is something that you want God to do for you? Sometimes we do. We say, I'm going on a fast because I need God to move in this particular area. Sometimes we do go on a fast because we want God to do something for us. Next thing, do you fast because there is a particular situation that you want resolved? God, Lord, you've got to come through. You've got to come through. Now, I want to say something. These aren't necessarily wrong in and of themselves. So I don't want you to think that I put that up there because these are wrong, but I want us to really analyze some of this. But yeah, sometimes you do fast because there's a situation that might come up. You got Daniel. Daniel wanted an answer from God. He got something he didn't understand, so he went on a 21-day fast. And so sometimes you do go on a fast because there's something that you might need resolved. There's something that you might need from the Lord. So it's not wrong in and of itself, but let's look a little deeper. Look, third, do you fast to prove that you have matured? God, I think I've come a long way. I'm going to go on a 3-day fast. You may not have even tried to do past a day. Now you want to go on a 3-day fast. Sometimes it's to prove to God that, hey, look how far I've come. So sometimes we may go on a fast to prove that we've matured. Or we may go on a fast not to prove that we matured to God, but prove that we matured to some of the other saints. Well, I'm on the 3-day fast. I can't go out to eat with you today. I'm on a 3-day fast. Ooh, you're on a 3-day fast? Ooh. Ooh, you a super saint, you know. You can get past that 6-day fast. Sometimes that 6-hour fast. Sometimes that 6-hour, that 12-hour fast. Get some folks, you know, crawling. Hello. You know, 3-day. Whew. I'm struggling to get to 11 hours. Start seeing hamburgers walking down the street. You know, smelling it. Ain't nowhere near no restaurant. Hello. But look, sometimes we may fast to prove maturity. Now, here's the thing. Our soul doesn't always let us know immediately that's why we're doing it. Our soul likes to deceive us, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. So sometimes we get caught up in different things. Lastly, do you fast just because someone spiritual fasts and you want to be like them. It's not wrong to have somebody that is further along. And you emulate or you follow them, because that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, be an example. And so if you're being an example, that means that some other folks should follow the example. Right. So sometimes it may be because you see somebody spiritual that is fasting. And so you want to be like them and say, it looks like God is working in their life. So maybe if I do the same stuff that they do, I get the same results. Well, that's good. But you know, you got to also understand that the soul sometimes can jump in there and you just want to be them. Hello. Now, once again, immediately the soul don't tell you that that's really what you up to. Not I want to follow their example as they become godly so I can be the kind of person that I am supposed to be before God. But no, the soul then says, hey, I want the same results they got. Well, your mission ain't the same as them. So why you need the same results? But the soul will sometimes try to use, and I'll say it again, I keep using this word, the soul will hijack a whole lot of stuff that God has given for us to become all that we are supposed to be. You need to be who God has called you to be. And that means not just who you think you are or who you are comfortable being, but who has God called you to be. And so sometimes we'll use fast and we then say, well, it don't seem like this fast is working because I done fasted for something and I didn't get it. I was fasting for a situation to be resolved and I fasted and it got resolved, but it didn't get resolved the way I wanted it to get resolved. Then we may see, okay, I tried to prove that I'm stronger and I'm more mature. And then as soon as I got off the fast, I did something dumb. Hello. And ended up, or the person you trying to prove that you matured to before didn't even take notice. Hello. So now you go through all this. Now, after all the fasting for the different reasons and I'm trying to fast and I'm trying to lay hands on folks and have a power of God like somebody else. And I'm putting my hands on their head and they knocking their hands off and ain't nothing happening. So this fasting stuff don't seem like it's working. I prayed and I saw so-and-so just rebuke a demon and the person that was getting on their nerve, they started acting right. I fasted 14 days and then I prayed for this person and not a, oh my God, I don't even want to say what they doing. Hello. They not on my back. They on top of my head now. You know, this fasting stuff don't seem like it's working. And so what do we fast for? Are we fasting the fast that God has chosen? I know the outside is the same. You're not eating. That's not the problem. It may not even be that you're not fasting and praying and reading the scripture. That may not even be, because fasting, really, let me tell you, fasting is the most simplest thing to do. I didn't say easiest, but it's the simplest. You know, you really don't need, if you ever thought about it, you really don't have any fasting conferences. You have prophetic conferences because there's a lot of information that people need to, you know, do different things. You don't have, you know, you may have an apostolic conference or you may have a conference on prayer because there's a whole lot involved with different types of prayer. You don't have fasting conferences because it's real simple. Fasting means you don't eat. You include prayer and scripture. It's real simple. Yeah, the hardest part sometimes is doing it. But here's the element. Here's the thing. God says, is this the fast that I've chosen? So there is something more than what we do on the outside then that makes fasting effective or not. Because if we're doing it, but we don't know that we're applying it in the wrong way or to the wrong thing, then it's not going to work. Hello. Let's look. What is fasting for? Fasting is to deal with the soul. Fasting is to deal with the soul. Our soul wants its independence. It wants to do what it wants to do. When you feel a certain way, you just want to do what you feel. Hello? Because you feel that way. It will do whatever it takes to find its own personal satisfaction. It will lie, cheat, and steal. I know you don't think you'll do that. But your soul will lie, cheat, and steal. May not steal from other folks, but it's lying, it's stealing, and it's cheating us all the time. It lies to us because when we're saved, and that's the context I'm talking about, being saved. The soul has to lie to us to get its own way because God is going to tell us to do something different or tell us to do something for a different, out of a different motivation. So the soul says, I don't really want to do that. So it lies to us to think that we're doing it. Or it lies to us so that we'll feel comfortable not doing what God says. Hello? It will cheat. Because the soul wants the benefits of God, but don't want the responsibilities. Hello? The soul wants the when God brings the abundance, the wealth and the comfort and what will give us pleasure. The soul wants that. It don't want the responsibility. It don't really want to be submitted to God. No, it just wants to cheat us and God out of what he wants and get only what it wants for itself. So yes, our soul will lie to us. It will cheat and it will steal. It will steal the glory from God. I'm not talking about the sinner's soul. I'm talking about the saint's soul. That's what we're talking about. The soul will lie, steal, and cheat. So then, God says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a fast to deal with your biggest problem. To deal with our biggest enemy. Everybody's biggest enemy is our own soul. So, look, the soul wants its independence. It wants to do whatever it can to get its own satisfaction. The soul does not play fair. The soul don't play fair. You need to realize your soul does not play fair. It does not play fair. It does not play fair at all. It will deceive you. Oh, we talked about it. It'll deceive you to get its own way. It will tell you, it will behave, but it doesn't. Okay. You're going to go on a fast. All right. I'll be good. Just give me something to eat. I'll be good. I won't do it again. It will say it's going to behave. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not. Oh, I feel bad because, oh, the way that turned out. I'm not going to do it. I'm be good. I'm going to just sit here. I ain't going to move for the rest of your life. I ain't going to move. Then all of a sudden, you know, we seen kids, you know, sit down. Don't go. Sit there for a minute. Next thing you know, you need to move over to the next seat. Next thing you know, they're waiting for you to turn your head. That is exactly how. If you want to know clearly how every one of our soul really acts, just watch a child. Good, bad, whatever. You will see. Because we are all primarily led by our soul. A child is the perfect example of exactly how all of our souls are. When we get older, we just become more sophisticated. Hello. It's still that our soul wants to run the show and act like kids, but we just get more sophisticated about it. Hello. We just get sophisticated. We just cover it up. You know, we don't want folks to know that we really, you know, throwing a temper tantrum because we didn't get our way. We just find other reasons to get mad and just storm off. You did wrong. You really just didn't get your own way. That's all. Hello. It's still our soul that is the thing. So it says it will behave, but it really doesn't. He really doesn't want to. There is only one way to handle the soul. It's only one way. You can't bribe it, because we try to bribe it sometimes. Look, we must make it behave. That's talking about us. The devil comes and attacks us where our soul has the most strength and wants to really break out. So that's what he does. So then the only way to keep the devil from coming and causing us to kind of follow his way is to make the soul behave. Look, we get so caught up. Let's see if we can see some things that we may have done in times past about and thought about fasting. Look, this is what the Israelites were doing. This is what God was confronting them about. He says, right before the passage that we gave, he says, they were asking this question. Watch this. They knew they were in covenant. Now watch this, see if this is the church too. They knew that they were in covenant with God, and they were still doing all the church stuff. They were doing all the religious stuff. They were doing all the righteous looking stuff. And so they got to this point where they said, hold on. Now we're in trouble now. Stuff is seeming to close in on us. Stuff ain't going right. You said we were the blessed people. You said that we were your children. Why is it that we're in this situation? So then they asked this question of God. They said, why have we fasted? Why have we fasted? Say they, and you don't see. Don't you see all the stuff that I'm trying to do for you, and now I'm in this situation? Why? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? Why did I afflict my soul if nothing's changed? Huh? Isaiah 58:3. Why have I afflicted my own soul and you take no knowledge? You act like you don't see all the stuff that I'm doing. Look, then he says, behold, in a day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? He said, is this the kind of fast that I gave you? Is that really the kind of fast that I gave you? A day for a man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Watch this. If you looked at all this, this would look like a good fast. We're in trouble. Stuff is going wrong. I'm fasting. I'm not eating. I'm afflicting my soul. He goes on to say, I set aside a day to afflict my own soul. I'm not feeling good because of this fast. I'm feeling the aches and pains in my stomach. Okay, I'm doing this thing right. Sometimes, have you ever had the thought? That when you got your hungriest, when you was on a fast, that you was like, okay, I must really be doing this right, because I'm really suffering here. I must be really, God, I'm going to push through this. Because you're feeling bad at the moment. So now, this must really be what God really wants out of this thing. So now, they said, a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow down his head. There's a bulrush. I'm seeking the Lord. And to put sackcloth and ashes under him. Just sit down. I'm just being quiet before the Lord. Now, that would look like a good fast. But God says, this ain't what I asked for at all. It looks good. It impresses everybody else. But he says, Will you call this a fast? You call that a fast? Really, think about it. God is looking from heaven, looking down and seeing all that. Everybody else is impressed. And God is saying, and you call that a fast?
you might as well eat something. You might as well get a big bowl of greens and cornbread and a ham hock or something else. You might as well just go and get a buffet. Because all it's doing is impressing the folks that's looking at you. Look. Look at what he, let's pay attention to what he says. He says, the question was, they asked God because they're fasting and nothing's changed around them. So they ask God. Now watch this. Got the nerve to ask God, what's up with you? Why haven't you kept up your end of the bargain? That's really what they're saying. Watch. Why have we fasted, say they, and you don't see? Don't you see what I'm doing for you? Look, God, you're not paying attention. We fasting. And you looking all off in the corner. The next thing they said is, wherefore have we afflicted our soul and you take no knowledge? You're not even paying. Not only do you not see, when you do see, you act like you don't see. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul and you take no knowledge? I am inconvenienced now. I've inconvenienced myself. I have stopped giving myself satisfaction for you to see this. And so I'm inconvenienced and you don't even see that I'm inconvenienced. Behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. I'm still doing what I want to do and not what God wants. I'm not eating. My soul is afflicted because I'm not eating, but really I'm still doing my own thing. My mind hasn't changed. I'm still going to let everything be about me. So he says, in the day of your fast, all you're doing is not eating. You haven't really given up anything. You're just not eating. Look, then he goes on and say, look, to make your voice to be heard on high. My fast is speaking loud and clear. Hello? God? Hey? Don't you hear me? So, I'm fasting. And he says, a day for a man to afflict his soul. A day for a man to afflict his soul. Think about that. Taking out a little time to stop something. But really not want to make it part of a life decision. He says, what are you doing? You give me one day. You give me just 12 hours to say you're going to seek me. And I won't see you at my doorstep for another 6 months. So he says, is this really the fast that I've called? He says, a real fast. What is a real fast? What has he called the real fast? He says, is it not? Let's look at our text again. He said, is not this the fast that I have chosen? Watch this. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Now, they said, I'm afflicting my soul, but you take no knowledge. I'm doing all this and you don't see. I've taken a day out to do this and you're not changing my situation. Well, God says, okay, that's your fast. Your fast is dealing with you. Did you see what that was? Your fast is dealing with what you want. God says, my fast is this. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Two different types of things that they looking for. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to the house when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him and that thou hide not thy face from thine own flesh? Look. It's about doing God's will. So now, the spirit in us has the Holy Spirit telling us different things. Now watch this. Your spirit has a whole lot more than what you really understand. Because the spirit is in constant contact with the Holy Spirit. But until you allow the soul to be broken down and our spirit to start to come out, you won't consciously know what you know. Let me say that again. Because your spirit now has the Holy Spirit within it. The Holy Spirit is God. He knows all things. So then he gives information to your human spirit, the real you. But until we allow our soul to be broken down, we won't be conscious of what the Holy Spirit is really revealing on the inside of us. That's why sometimes we may get good impressions about doing good stuff and doing stuff that God may want to do, but then we either don't know how to do it, or we take it and run, and we run in the wrong direction with what God is saying, but we run in the wrong direction because we got something and our spirit got it from God, but now our soul wants to cheat, steal, and lie. And so it takes it in a whole nother direction. So then God says, I've called a fast so that my will be done. Look, he says to loose the bands of, what is that word? What's that word? To loose the bands of what? I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm going to do a, well, not necessarily that my sermons are usually what people would consider orthodox in his presentation, but I was really thinking about doing one, and I'm really gonna have to do it. I'm gonna have to take a couple of weeks to just deal with definitions, because the world now has redefined almost everything that the Bible talks about, so that when you say the word wickedness, it means something different when we hear it, because we got a different definition than what God meant when he wrote it. It's not what we think God says. What has God said? We need to find out, what did God mean by that? And so when we think wickedness, we usually think wickedness is somebody like Jeffrey Dahmer, somebody like John Wayne Gacy, somebody that did something real bad, and we say that's wickedness. But really, wickedness is nothing more than selfishness. Wickedness is really nothing more than selfishness. Now, wickedness being selfishness can lead to wicked actions. But somebody can be wicked and have never committed a crime per se. So anyway, I'll be doing that. Different definitions. What does glory mean? What does righteousness mean? You know, not what we think it means, but what does God say it means? And it will, you'll find out that a whole lot of stuff will be open up to you to see things in a different light. But he says to loose the bands of wickedness. I've called a fast because fasting is to loose the bands of wickedness. Fasting breaks your selfishness. I know you're not selfish. I know you're not selfish. I know you're not selfish. I'm talking to the other church down the street. Y'all just happen to be here. But let me drop another bomb on you. The sin nature, the core of the sin nature is I. If it's I, it's selfishness. Selfishness just appears in a whole lot of different ways. But we all primarily are selfish if we let our sin nature run rampant. Yes, we are selfish because there are things that we want to do. And if God happens to say something that we don't mind doing, we have no problem doing it. And we think that that is obedience. It really sometimes is that God has just happened to say something that we don't mind doing. But here, he says, I've called a fast to loose the bands. I don't want you to think about rubber bands. He wasn't talking about rubber bands. He was talking about like straps. Straps that restrain you. Straps that hold your hands. Handcuffs that hold your hands, keeps you from moving. He says, I have called a fast to loose, to release the band or the shackles of selfishness. Look, the next thing he says, I've called the fast to undo heavy burdens. What are you carrying? What is it that you're carrying? The things that are heavy, but you're holding them in your hands. Now think about this. If you're holding something heavy in your hands, how can you now work? You can't, because you got something heavy in your hand. You can't work. You may show up to work, but you really can't work. You may come to church, but you may not necessarily be able to do the work that God really wants you to do because you're too busy holding burdens. Now, watch this. If fasting primarily is to undo selfishness, then here's the next thing. If to undo heavy burdens is right after to loose the bands of wickedness, some of our burdens are burdens that God never intended, but they're burdens that we're carrying because of our selfishness. Or rather, let me say it this way. Sometimes because we have been selfish and wanted to do our own thing, we end up getting in situations where we're forced to hold a burden that is only the result of what we wanted to do. So he said, so now we feel compelled to hold this burden because we know we did it. I got to hold the burden. I can't let it go. But then see, here's what the devil does. The devil don't want us to repent and change. He wants us to keep holding it. If we repent and change, then even though we did it to make the burden, we can then see that God wants us to lay down our burdens. The past is the past. Hello. You do not make atonement for your past by keep holding the burden. Well, I gotta just, what was that? In I think it was Greek or Roman mythology. I think there was a character. I may say something, y'all have no clue, but I just want to use this one. Sisyphus, who his punishment was to keep on rolling this boulder up a hill. That was his punishment, to keep on rolling this boulder. And so sometimes we do that. We make a mistake and we think that we're paying for our debt for God by keep on holding this burden. Yeah, we may have known we did it. We trying to hold his burden. God says, I need you to realize that you're actually being selfish. You're putting yourself under your own pity party because you don't want to forgive yourself. And now you can't work for God all because you're so selfish that you just want to punish yourself. I know we don't think we do that. But really, that's the deception of the soul. Hello. And also, undoing the heavy burdens sometimes is connected with selfishness because sometimes that's the best way to get attention. I've made mistakes, so I want to keep holding this burden so that people see me holding this burden and they'll have compassion for me. Because I'm heavy, carrying this heavy burden. Don't they see the heavy burden that I'm holding? Because other people don't realize that the burden that you're holding, you could let down. They think they're just doing a Christian duty or just helping you out. But really, it's a self-imposed punishment. Because of selfishness. So he says, I've given you the fast to first loose the shackles of selfishness, wickedness, selfishness, and then to undo heavy burdens. Now, third thing, and to let the oppressed go free. You fasting. Now, let me say that. Because I want to say this, but I don't want you to apply it in an overall way. There's a context why I'm going to say this. Fasting and praying for somebody else does work, but that's not the primary reason for fasting. When you're fasting and praying for somebody else, the fasting isn't for them, the praying is. Okay, so watch it. So now, you fasting for the people over in Darfur, you fasting for the folks who being oppressed in Guantanamo Bay or wherever else, you fasting for them don't help them. Praying for them helps them, but you fasting for them don't help them. Because when it talks about to let the oppressed go free, it's not talking about fasting for somebody else that's oppressed. The fasting for the oppressed is your spirit is oppressed. Your spirit, when you are saved, your spirit wants to break out and be all that God has called it to be, but is being oppressed by the soul. So God says, okay, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you a fast that's going to break down the wall of your soul so that your oppressed spirit can be free. So that you can be who you really are supposed to be. A lot of our mistakes that we made is we are trying to be somebody that God never called us to be. And we're thinking that we're being free, but we're really being oppressed. Our soul seems like it's free. And our spirit is like, when can I see daylight? When can I see outside? Our spirit is like in solitary confinement. Just all locked up. Holy Spirit telling us all the stuff that we're supposed to be. And the Spirit is saying, when God win. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about us. Y'all sitting there like, yeah, that might apply to somebody. No, 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 no. That's talking to us. Hello. And to let the oppressed. See, because when you think about it. When somebody, let's take it back in the day. We're not talking about prisons nowadays. We're talking about back in the day, you know, Green Mile days. You know, y'all, everybody seen Green Mile, you know, where they were in prison, but they had to go out there and work and build railroads and all the rest of that stuff. They, you know, they wasn't just sitting somewhere looking at something and going out and pumping iron and all the rest of that. No, no, no. They were building stuff. Think about it. Your spirit is in prison and it's locked up. The bands got handcuffs on it. Watch. And it's doing manual labor. Your soul is not doing manual labor and your spirit is locked up. God says, I'm trying to free you. I'm trying to free you from your own prison of yourself. Now, the next thing says, and that you break every yoke. Break every yoke. The hands are first made free. Bands of wickedness. Undo heavy burdens. Okay, I'm not carrying anything now. But now here's where the yoke is. The yoke, we're not talking about eggs now. Got to go back in the day. Where they had a farmer who had either a cow or an ox, and you use that cow or that ox to pull the plow. The way that the farmer would direct them was by using the ropes that was attached to a yoke, and it was basically a piece of wood around the neck. And if wherever, look at this, wherever the head goes, the body goes. So they put it around the neck so that they pull the neck this way. The calf will go out that way. Wherever you pull the neck or wherever you pull the head, that's where you're going. Wherever the devil can fool the soul into going and you thinking as a man thinks, so is he. Whatever The soul thinks about whatever you think is correct. That's which way you're going to go. So here's the thing. The soul fasting then says, hey, I need to break your mindset in some areas. I need to break your emotions in certain areas. There's certain areas where our thought patterns have created a feeling in a certain areas. So we feel certain things in certain areas. So that all that has to happen is we end up in a certain situation. We feel a certain way and we automatically act that way. It's like having a yoke around our neck and we being drug on and we don't know it. So he says to break what? What's that word right there? That means we got more than one yoke, y'all. Hello. We have multiple areas where we might be yoked up. Ooh. Even while we coming to church, we still coming to church. God's got us free in one area, but we yoked up in another. Hello. He says to break. That means it can no longer be put back on. If you take it off, it can be put back on. But God says, I want to give you a fast so that you can break every yoke. Multiple soulish hindrances where your soul is hindered in more than one area. Some people think, now let me give you an example quick, because I want to put this one all on one CD. Sometimes we think that not having finances is the real problem. But that's really not the problem. The problem is that sometimes with some people, not having what they think is enough money is a soulish yoke, because they equate money with security. So the real issue isn't money, it's really security. I'm afraid that I'm not secure. Somebody else may have a problem with finances, not because of not feeling secure, but to them, money means success. So now my soulless yoke is, if I don't have the amount of money that I think that I should have, I'm not really a success. So their issue is feeling like they're a failure. They're not really worried about whether they're going to run out of food. So when you talk to somebody talking about, oh, I'm having financial issues, don't ask them what they really mean, because it may make you mad and you may slap them. That may be another soulish hindrance. Because you talking about your financial issues, you may say, hey, my financial issues is that, hey, I only got $10 in the bank. I don't know how I'm going to feed these kids. And then you talk to them and they ask them what they talking about financial issues. They talking about, you know what? I probably won't be able to get a new car today. What you? You ain't got no problems. And you be done slapped them before you even knew it. Then you be talking about, pastor, church got any bail money? So when he says to break every yoke, we must understand that we have multiple areas where our soul may be led in certain directions. So he says to break every yoke. Now, the fifth one, and that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Once again, your soul will deceive you. My soul will deceive me. And we will have things that we're dealing with that our soul won't tell us. I told y'all, I've been dealing with this 8 weeks. I know it sounds like we're talking about some crazy folks. What do you mean? Did you hide stuff inside yourself? I know me. Yeah, really. Right. You know, if you walk with the Lord any length of time, you know that God has dealt with some area where you are doing something for a while. You didn't think about it. You weren't thinking about it. And all of a sudden, God puts you in a situation where then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Yeah, You may not tell anybody else, but you're not. Yeah, I really did do that because of that. Yeah. Now you're aware of something that you really wasn't conscious of earlier. Yeah, I really did that. Yeah, I really try to. I always try to do that because I try to impress certain folks. Yeah, that is why I really. I don't know why I do that. You know, and then all of a sudden, it's something that you used to do without even really thinking about it. All of a sudden, God lets you know this is who you are. Oh, yeah. So let us remember. Just because he showed us that, how much more is it that our soul might be fooling us in? Why we do what we do. Hello. Why we think what we think. Why we really do what we really. I know we got the standard answer that we tell other folks. But he says, go on a fast so that you don't hide yourself from your own flesh. Fasting will make you miserable. If you really go on this type of fast, you really won't really be thinking about when you gonna eat. Because your stomach hurting will probably be the last thing on your mind. Because when God starts showing us, and he starts showing us that we aren't as wonderful as we think we are, you really won't be thinking about food. You kind of like, you know, ooh. I thought I was a nice person. I really wasn't that nice. I know I said it. I know other folks thought I was the nice. I'm sorry. I didn't really know. Oh, God. You won't be thinking about a hamburger, no food. Because he says, I need you to be honest with yourself. I need you to be honest with you to uncover hidden issues. Why do I do whatever? I get caught up in the same stuff. Why do I do? No, it really, yeah, it may be them, but they are just taking advantage of what I don't know about myself. So it's not letting anybody else off the hook, but why do I get caught up in the same stuff? Why do I get caught up with the same knucklehead? Why do I get caught up in the same stuff? No, yeah, it may have been them. They may have been wrong, but why is it me that's always, hold on, something's up with me. Something. I know I'm not walking around with a sign on my forehead. I think. But he says, fasting is for us to go outside ourselves. Fasting is for us to go outside of ourselves. Look at this. We're almost through. The direction and the effect. What does he say? Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. See, the soul wants everything for itself. The soul wants everything for itself. Everything got to be dealing with me. Even if I do something for you, I got to get something out of it. Hello. I may do something for you because I'm looking for your compliment. Hello. I may do something for you because I want your admiration. I may do something for you because later on I'm going to ask you for something that's just a little bit bigger than what I did for you. But I know that because if you're so thankful of what I did, I can ask you for that extra more 2 weeks from now. So I'm really just doing something for you now to be the setup because I'm really thinking about myself. Hello, somebody. So why do we do? That's why God looks at the motivation of what we do. So he says, is it not to deal that bread to the hungry, to bring the poor that are cast out into thy house and that you see the one that's naked to cover him? The soul wants everything for itself. That's talking about the sinner soul as well as the saved soul. Fasting allows us to minister to others authentically. Authentically. To give God the glory. To let God come out of us, to let our very spirit come out. And then when our spirit comes out, the Holy Spirit comes out also. But the soul has got to be broken down. Look,
God ultimately wants to use his children to be a blessing in the world. God wants us to be a blessing in the world. But if we are selfish in our interactions with God, we're too busy asking God for all the stuff that we think we need. The only way for us not to become so self-centered is that we're not self-absorbed, that everything we want from God ultimately has to do with us. I need to feel better. I need to get prosperity. I want to have everything that God says he wants. Everything is dealing with us. Fasting breaks through the soul. It doesn't annihilate the soul. It brings the soul into the place that it's supposed to be in. The spirit is supposed to be in control, being led by the Spirit of God. The soul then is supposed to take direction from our spirit. And then our body carries out whatever the work is. Look, the soul is broken down when you refuse to give in to its demands. It demands many things. I like these different images. You can almost make it like the soul is like someone who kidnapped somebody. They kidnap somebody and then they say, "All right, I'll give them back if you give me $1 million in unmarked bills and a helicopter that goes to Mexico." It makes demand. Say, "I got something you want. Now you give me what I want, or else I'm not letting them go." Well, the soul is broken down when you don't give in to its demands. The imprisoned spirit is allowed to come forth when the soul is afflicted and weakened. You don't eat, but fasting is more than just not eating. It is a principle. But when you are not eating, you not eating represents that you are not giving in to your appetite, physical appetite. But you must realize that fasting really supposed to shine light on a bigger subject, that we have a whole lot of appetites. What are you hungering and thirsting for? Are you hungering and thirsting for what people say is success? Well, you need to fast against that. Look, fasting is not just food. It's what the soul is craving for. And so you teach yourself how not to. Where am I? Not be anywhere. 12. Okay. We might have to cut off the light. I don't know what that was. But the soul craves for a lot of things. And so fasting from food helps us to realize that the appetite of the